You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're looking ahead to Fairy House on this edition. Their card on Thursday evening kicks off at 6 o'clock for a 7-race card on the level. Sam Norris here on the podcast, and joining me on the line is Andy Holding to offer up his thoughts on the card tonight. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, bud. You?
Yeah, I'm not bad, thank you. All good. Could be quite quick going tonight at Fairy House.
Yes, it's a track that doesn't often get bad ground. At any stage, really, particularly this time of year when they've had no rain around in Ireland for a while. Watered track, good to firm ground, plenty of runners other than the best race on the card, the 7 o'clock, but that's always the case. There's only 5 runners there last year. That's certainly made up for with all the other races where, virtually maximum fields apply. So, competitive stuff tonight, Fairy House. No major stars other than Tamador. But, interesting one all the same.
Yeah, hopefully we can point you in the direction of some winners. We'll start then with the first race on the card coming up at 6 o'clock. We kick things off with a 6-furlong Filly's Maiden and Vitello heads affairs here at 11-10. It's 4-1 for Bo Bailyn. Hakuiba is 11-2, 8-1 for Now or Never. Bigger prices the rest of them. And this Vitello, she's the one with the best form on offer. Third on debut at the Curragh. Is she open to some improvement here?
Yeah, she is. She comes from a yard that I always stress when doing my podcasts. Hugely improve after their first outing. Mickey Hufford's had several newcomers so far this season, and they've had the one run, eye-catching runs, and then they've gone on to win next time out. So the market's very much reacted in that direction. 6-4 generally this morning, into 11-10, 5-4 now. All the rage of this filly by Ravens Pass Vitello, who, as you pointed out, shaped really nicely at the Curragh on debut behind Miss Katie May, who came out of a good maiden the time before at Nace and had plenty of experience. She's not overly big. What I could see of her on the TV, she's very small and compact. But that doesn't mean to say she's got plenty of ability. And with that improvement to come, she's likely to take a high rank here. But there are a couple of horses that you'd probably want to look towards maybe from an each-way perspective if you were not prepared to take a short price. And both of those are priced up roughly around about 9-2, 5-1. They are Bobbaline and Hakiba. Both of whom have had encouraging beginnings to their careers. Bobbaline, I thought, improved markedly on her first run behind Hakiba when she was six behind Old Enemy, with a good run behind Most Beautiful. I think Most Beautiful is very much a pattern race performer in the making, and Waterloo Bridge advertised that form with a win the other day at Tipperary. So I suggest that one's probably the way I'd go here, Bobbaline. I know Hadika's also got to improve as well on that run behind Old Enemy, but he's likely to do so. So I don't think the favourite will have all her own way here. It's a normal policy of mine to follow Mickey Halford second time up, but I don't think there's much scope with an 11-10 shot, whereas Bobbaline is available back at 9-2. So that's why I'm going to go in the first.
OK, Bobbaline each way then in the first, Randy. We'll move then to the 6:30. This one's a 6-furlong handicap, and Is He Bay or Grey heads affairs at 5-1. 6-1 for Bob's the Business. Glimmer of Peace is 8-1. It's 8-1 also for Broccopondo and Enter the Priory. Tens bar those. Looks fairly open here, Andy.
Yeah, this is quite a decent heat here. Quite a few that can be fancied. A lot of punters will be looking towards Issue Bay or Grey, who won 3 starts ago on the all-weather. She then backed up with another good run at the same track and just was caught out by dropping back to 5 furlongs on her last start behind a few dollars more at Cork. Very sharp track that, and she definitely wants stepping back up to 6. So I certainly see her going well. But the two I'd concentrate on here myself would be Bob's the Business, who's the first horse to run out of an extremely strongly run handicap at Listowel on the 31st of May. The best furlong per furlong time on that cord was achieved by Eco Eye, but back in second was Bob's the Business, who attempted to make all that day and forced this very strong pace only to get tired in the bad ground late on. Prior to that was an eye-catching seventh in a 6-furlong Navan handicap, where Vasoni, Ducky Malon, Lady Ranger, Battle of the Bruin, the second and third have all won subsequently. The form of that race has worked out really well, and with a decent draw tonight and forceful tactics, I can see Bob's the Business certainly putting up a bold show. And the other one to mention is Magnificent as well, who very much caught the eye on her turf debut back in April. I've been waiting for her to run since. She had three runs in the weather to get a mark of 62, and unfortunately she got the coffin box of 16 of 16, which gave her pilot no other choice but to drop her in from that high berth. Then was noted making good late headway when not receiving the best of runs to finish a never nearer six behind Not A Bad Old Day, who was obviously in good form at the time. So I think these two are going to certainly give us a massive run for our money tonight. I'll be expecting at least one of them to be there or thereabouts. Bob's the business, around about 6-1 this morning, along with Magnificent on my two against the field in the 6:30.
Okay, fair enough. We'll move on then to the big race of the night from Ferry House at 7 o'clock. This one is run over 7 furlongs in Tamador. Heads Affairs here at 4-5. He's 130 about Geoffrey Chaucer. Vitally Important, 6-1. Last year's winner, Slipper Orchid, 6-1. And the outside of the lot is Dandy Leakey at 16-1. Possibly a couple of interesting ones here, Andy. Obviously, we saw Tamador running in 6th in the Irish 1,000 guineas. And Geoffrey Chaucer, who looked the real deal as a juvenile, but has been going the wrong way ever since.
Yes, this is a really odd one for me, this race here. I mean, I know Tamador, on all known form, should win this very, very easily indeed. She was a very good juvenile. She dined at the very top table, running against the better two-year-old Stella Globe, Boca Bacchiata, the Great War, blah, blah, blah. And she made her debut in the Irish 1000 Guineas, a high-class race of its kind this year, probably one of the best Irish 1000s run in recent times. We've already seen the Oaks winner come out of that race qualify. And other horses such as Jack Nail, of course, ran well in the English Classic. And Tamador ran really respectably, way beyond her odds suggested to finish sixth. That form alone would stand her in very good stead here, and she should, in all intents and purposes, win this, as I said, quite comfortably at 4-5. But the problem is I've got with backing Tamador and putting up at short price, which I'm not prepared to do, is the fact that Kevin Prendergast, her trainer, has gone on an absolutely desperate run at the moment. I can't remember Kevin having such a bad time of things. He's had 13 runners in the last fortnight. Not one of them has finished in the frame. He's had a hell of a lot of horses that finished last of the field. He's gone basically 17 days and 14 runners without a winner. So with that stat glaring at the back of my mind, there's no way I'm going to back that. Geoffrey Chaucer as well, he's a nice horse. He's definitely been waiting for better ground. He's had soft ground on his last two starts. I think we'll see the proper Geoffrey Chaucer step up here today. But he's dropping back down to 7 furlongs. Has he got the tactical speed to cope with the horses at this intermediate distance? All his best forms over a mile and a quarter. So therefore, I'm going to offer up the next two in the betting as the alternatives and suggest we back both of them against the field. Slipper Orchid and Vitally Important, both at 6-1 this morning with William Hill. Both of them come off the back of good runs the other day at Nace in competitive races. Vitally Important managed to win his handicap. He appreciated dropping back down in trip. And the other one, obviously, Slipper Orchid, who won this race 12 months ago. She loves it here at Ferry House. On her debut in her career, she managed to finish second. So obviously she likes the nature of this track. And I think she'll be more appreciative to the better ground that she raced on the other day at Nace. And she would have needed that run following a 5 to 6 month layoff. So I think we can afford to pose the favourite because of the yard stats. And Slipper Orchid and Vitally Important hopefully might spoil the party, one of those two.
Okay, a couple against the market principles then in that one for Andy. We'll move to the 7:30 next. We've got a 7 furlong maiden coming up, and Stop and Linger is the 7-4 favourite here. 4-1 for Frozen Lake. Mutad Hammond is 9-2, 6-1 for Van Schaik. Zylan is 7s, it's 12s bar those. A 20 runner maiden here, Andy. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, 20 runners, but only a handful that can be fancied on all known form. I didn't particularly like Frozen Lake's overall profile going into its last race at Leopardstown, and I came out of that race Still a little bit nonplussed by John Ox's charge, and drawn 18 of the 20 runners here. That's going to be a Herculean effort for that horse to win from that box. And he's certainly going to be giving away an early advantage, which he can't afford to do, to the front two in the market, Stop and Linger and Mutadamim, are both drawn low respectively, 5-2. And of the pair, I much prefer the claims of Stop and Linger, who ran a nice eye-catching race on debut at Navan, just looking as though it might need the run behind Ginger Lake. And then chased home Sir Isaac Newton, who was one of the most expensive horses in training going into that race, and I think might head towards the Raw meeting next week. It was run at a sound pace. It's the fastest furlong per furlong time on the card. And I like the way this horse finished off its race and got by Valak in the latter stages, who represented the Dermot Wild stable and was obviously very fancied on the night. Mutadamim has been yo-yoing between trips, 6 furlongs a mile. Maybe this distance tonight of 7 furlongs might be the key, but he's looked desperately one-paced in his last few starts. Maybe the better ground might soon Dermot Wells, 3-year-old, and I might be writing him off too soon. But on what I've seen so far of the main protagonist. I think Stop and Linger certainly looked the most upwardly mobile, and his speed figures suggest that he's the one to beat there.
Okay, Stop and Linger then in that 7:30. Next up at 8 o'clock, we've got another 7 furlong handicap. This time, Shabra Emperor is the 7-2 favourite here. 4-1 for Ducky Mallon. Dove Mountain is 13-2. Cash or Casualty is 7-1. 9-1 for Chilly Billy and 10's Bar. Talk us through this one, Andy.
Yeah, my old favourite runs here, Shabra Emperor. Many podcasters will know that I've got a bit of an affection for Anthony McCann's 6-year-old. He managed to win 3 times on the old weather, posting magnificent numbers when he's in great form. It's just whether, of course, he can translate his form from his beloved Dundalk, a horse, of course, he's got five wins next to his name, to this venue. The one upside is that he's run well here before. He's drawn in stall one, which would normally seem like a very good draw, but to Shabra Emperor, it might not be that that great, because he does like to come late, fast and wide, and if he gets stuck on the inside, then that could be a bit of a problem. He likes to have no horses on his outside. So I think Fran Brew's going to have a job there from stall one to extricate him off the inner. Obviously, Ducky Mallon's going to have his supporters, having won at Garran the last day. And Donald Kinsella's horses always seem to run well at this track. He had King of Orion, who managed to win here the last day. Looking further down the line, it might just be worth taking a bit of a flyer on Thomas McCourt's filly, local flyer, who ran deplorably badly the other day at Nace. She was up the speed before fading late on, and she didn't do a great deal first time out at Leopardstown either on bad ground, but she's going to get a firm ground that she adores for the first time this season. She's got the blinkers on for the first time just to sharpen her ideas up. She's dropped down significantly in the handicap mark as well. She was 82 for the start of the season. She's now languishing off 74. But the upside to local flyer is that she's run 3 times at this track and she's never finished out the first four. In fact, one of her only career victories came here. She's also finished second and fourth respectively. So I'm just taking a bit of a punt that this horse returns to form with the blinkers on, the fast ground, her return to her favourite track. And she's at 16-1 this morning. It's that kind of race. I don't see any great major angles in the betting, but I do think she might well prove to be one at a big price. So local flyer each way in the 8 o'clock.
Okay, local flyer then could be a bit of each way value there in that 8 o'clock. The 8:30 is the penultimate race on the card. A mile and a half handicap, this one. And My Twinkle is the 3-1 favourite. When in doubt, 7-2. Senior Council, 7-2. 5-1 for Brightly Shining. Way Down South, 8-1. 9-1 for Sailor's Worn. And 9-1 for Jocular. 7 runners here, Andy. All at a single-figure price.
Yeah, quite a trappy old race for punters. No each way, well, obviously each way betting, but only first two, which provides a little bit of a question, you know, for punters. But I'll probably go with My Twinkle here. Philly by Sea of the Stars, this is the first run in that handicap. She's got a useful perch of 74, certainly plenty for John Ox to work on. She's also got the blinkers on for the first time. And it looks as though connections probably feel as though that's what she needs, because she faded quite tamely in the latter stage of her race at Navan. Now, that was a strongly run race. It was won by Ivanovich Gorbachev, who I think goes to the Raw meeting and represents the powerful connections of Ballydoyle in one of the staying races. I know Torsador didn't do the podcast much favours at the Curragh on Sunday, but I've got to go with the time of this race. It still suggests to me that it's pretty good form, and I'm going to give it another go with this My Twinkle. Prior to that, she'd run really well and eye-catchingly well at Garran behind Hot Sauce. It was the race at Variable, made its eagerly awaited racecourse debut and finished second. Now, Variable went on to win by 7 lengths, bolting up at Cork next time out, and he's entered in the Ribblesdale and might well represent the mighty Dermot Weld at the Raw meeting at Royal Ascot next week. So its overall profile suggests that it could well be better than 74. The blinkers are on. Hopefully that is the key to this filly's chances tonight. And I'm going to stick with that form at Navan and go with John Ox's filly.
Okay, My Twinkle in the 8:30. Then we'll move to the final race on the card tonight. Another mile and a half handicap. And Christie's Call is the 9-2 favourite here. Esther Quercus is 13-2. 7-1 for Mount Mill. 7-1 House Limit. King of Oriole, 8-1. Double figure prices, the rest of them. Taking a fair bit out of the market, this Christie's Call, Andy. A worthy favourite?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I wouldn't say he's not a worthy one. But there are reasons to suggest why maybe he's not so good on paper as he appears, because the upsides are that he bolted up the other day down Patrick over hurdles, which bookmakers have obviously taken account of. He's also ridden by one of the apprentice finds of the season over in Ireland, Jack Kennedy, who takes 7 off. But the problem is he's drawn in stall 18, and his only 4 career wins in his life have come at Dundalk. So he's yet to win on turf in 9 starts. So pluses and minuses, mixed messages for Christie's Call. enough to put me off anyway at 9-2. Mount Mills, he's another one that took advantage of a polytrack surface at Dundalk the other day. He's got claims. But I'm going to have to go for this Esther Quirkus, who's around about a 7-1 poke this morning on the morning line. Now, he could be absolutely chucked in here based on his victory the other day over hurdles in a conditions race at Ballinrobe. That was a bit of a shock to many punters who gave Vercingetorix yet another go. But once again, Gordon Elliott's horse came up short. Now, in that race, Vercingetorix, round about 130 rated horse over hurdles, set the standard. There was other horses in that race rated in the mid-125, such as Hostile Fire. So the fact that Esther Quirkus managed to beat them probably put that performance in perspective. He probably ran to at least 120, 125 to win that race. Therefore, his handicap mark back on the flat, which is 47, virtually a selling plater's mark, has to be considered here in such a bad race. His last run was at Roscommon on the flat. He raced off a mark of 55. But subsequently, Iggy Madden's done wonders with his horse. His last three runs over hurdles are 4th, 3rd and 1st. So he's definitely going in the right direction. He's slipped in here off a really workable mark. And if he's anywhere near the form he was at Ballinrobe the other day when he floored much better horses, he must surely go close here. So he's a strong each-way recommendation in the last.
OK, Esther Quirkus then in that 9 o'clock. Just run us through the card one more time, please, Andy, and tell us who you're going for tonight at Fairy House.
Yeah, quite a lot of value in each-way bets for me tonight at Fairy House, beginning with Bobbaline in the first, in the 6:30. I quite like a couple against the field there, Bob's the Business and Magnificent. I'm going to go against the front two in the market for reasons outlined in the 7 o'clock with the third and fourth favourite, Slipper Orchid and Vital Importance. 7:30, my only short price recommendation of the night would be to back Stop and Linger in that 7 furlong maiden. Then moving on to the 8 o'clock, I'm going to take a punt that Local Flyer comes back to form with the blinkers on back at a home track. In the 8:30, I'm going to give My Twinkle a go. Again, another horse with the first time blinkers on. And the final race, the incredibly well handicapped Esther Quirkus looks the part in what looks a competitive handicap.
OK, there we are then. You've been listening to Andy Holding's thoughts ahead of the Fairy House card tonight on Thursday. We kick things off there at 6 o'clock. And you'll hear every race live on William Hill Racing Radio with Gareth Topham, James Millman and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Alongside Fairy House, we've got Beverly, Brighton, Hamilton, Haydock and Kempton too. So do join us for all of that. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, Andy, and good luck with Fairy House tonight.
Thanks, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.